Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Wow!
Nice!
Yeah!
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
The following is a presentation of the Four Center podcast feed.
From the center of the galaxy, happy holidays to you. This is a Four Center podcast feed. I'm Kat Knapsack.
And I'm sleepy, tired, Joseph Scrimshaw, but I'm happy to be here.
Happy you're here. We'll get into it. Life adventures. Joseph and Sarah traveling via aeroplane, which can be, a little bit of a Vegas gamble these days if you're going to get where you need to go or on the day or even the week that you need to get there. We'll dive into that. We'll dive into some fun news. We're going to dive into the rumor side. We'll talk about that, give you an extra warning, but have some fun there. Birthday, this day in history, all coming up here. But before we get to that, I want to remind you today's podcast is brought to you by, you know it, Audible. Get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/forcecenter. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. A little bit later, as always, we'll have our Four Center recommends an audiobook we think you should try out on us. We do want to go to our segment we call the Ask. Boom, 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 boom. We are asking all of you out there, if you haven't already, and many of you have, consider sliding on over to YouTube and subscribing to our channel there. We are asking for your help to get to 7,000 subscribers. That's the next big plateau we're trying to scale, and then we'll go from there. We got a lot of cool things coming, so we'd like you to consider it. One of the things we announced it, but Joseph, if you want to dive into this one a little bit, we want to reset the table here. We got a new show coming, YouTube only, in February called Figure Fights. Joseph, this is something I'm actually looking forward to a lot.
Oh, me too. This is going to be a show we're going to do on YouTube. It's going to be short and fun. It's going to come out every 2 weeks to start, and then we'll see what happens. There are going to be guests, but here's the deal. What Star Wars fan has not had a conversation with another Star Wars fan saying, which of these characters would win in a fight? That's a fun conversation, but we want to go a level deeper, and we're going to ask which action figure would win in a fight. So not can Darth Vader beat Walrus Man, but can this action figure of Darth Vader beat this action figure of Walrus Man, Pwn de Baba? Will that bright orange jacket make the difference in the combat? These are the kind of important questions we're going to be asking on figure fights.
Absolutely. I cannot wait till we get to those ones that don't have weapons, but pointers and data pads. And how will that factor in? A lot of cool things coming.
A lot of poked eyes on figure fights coming up.
Indeed, indeed, indeed. We are looking forward to that. So head over to the YouTube channel there. Brian Ward actually just tweeted out that it's the 4-year anniversary of his animated version of one of our databank brawl episodes, the famous and infamous Constable Zuvio versus Gus Tours fight with Mike Black, doing one of the more amazing characters ever, turning Gus Tours into something so memorable. Check that out. It's on the YouTube channel as well. We are going to get the news here shortly. We always like to catch up with life adventures, see how Star Wars interacted. I'm going to go first, Joseph, because I have a feeling you have a little bit more to say. We're recording this episode on Tuesday, releasing a little bit later because of travel time. I did not travel for the holidays. Not traveling for the new year either. I stayed here. Grace and I stayed, bunkered down, had a nice friend dinner at Smokehouse. Saw Ron Howard and Clint Howard, not there. I was looking. They weren't there, but it was packed. We had a lot of fun. But other than that, I think you could attach it to Star Wars. There's some times, actually, we just experienced it in The Princess and the Scoundrel, right? Where Mon Mothma says to Leia, look, you're going to get married. You know, you and Han are doing this. You're going to have a wedding. I'm going to help plan it, and you're going to relax. Yes, we just fought this war. Yes, it's still going on, but you're going to take a break. And so therefore it becomes Star Wars. I woke up Thursday morning, had some things to do, had a list of, I'm going to record this. I'm going to get ahead of this. I'm going to do my 2023 plan, all those things. And then Thursday morning, I sat down with a cup of coffee and a blueberry muffin, turned on Fortnite and said, Grace, tell the world I'm gone. I'm going to do blank all for the next 5 to 6 days. And that's just pretty much been it. I even stopped working out. I didn't. There was one day I texted my pal, Jen Murrow, who we know. And she said, hey, we had talked about maybe going for a hike with the dogs. And I was like, Jen, it's 3 o'clock. I'm in my pajamas. We're not leaving.
The biggest hike is going to be to the kitchen, right?
Yeah. So, can I attach Star Wars to that? Yes, I can. Mon Mothma would have told me, you need to do blank all, bleep all for the next few days. And I did it. But Joseph, you had a lot more adventures.
Yeah, no, I had a great but really action-packed holiday trip back to my ancestral home place of Minneapolis, Minnesota, in the larger Minneapolis-St. Paul metro area. Definitely one of those vacations that I need a vacation from. We landed in Minnesota for the some of the most brutal that Minnesota has to offer. There's a big snowfall, and then the actual temperature around negative 10 the first day that I really had to drive around. So the air is trying to murder you. The slippery streets were trying to throw your car into other cars. Very happy that all of my driving on fresh snow and ice instincts returned, and I did not smash up my rental car. So that's a victory. I did not land it like Han lands the Falcon in Solo, all smoking and in pieces. So a lot of Star Wars adventures and in life adventures. So a bunch more will come out over time. So trying to keep it a little bit shorter. Big picture thing is I spent a lot of quality time with my dad in the house that I spent most of my teens and in young adulthood in. So kind of the family home. And as both Ken and I have indicated with our discussions of Edie Karn, the maybe not great parent in Andor, there have been ups and downs in our lives. And I have a lot of happy memories in that house. And I have some not great memories in that house. And I hadn't actually stayed overnight there since I moved out in 1998.
Wow.
So it was a real It was a real purging of demons, and that's the point that I want to get to. I had a great time talking to my dad, looking through old photos. My dad taught me to play the drums, so we and he's rusty now too. So we sat down and took mm-hmm. turns playing drums and trying to get our groove back. Literally, all sorts of great and fun stuff. Had a great holiday with my in-laws and my brother's family and all those things. Yeah. But what the life adventure that relates to Force Center that was really nice is I left there on Christmas Day morning to then go back to where Sarah was staying with her family. Mm. And my dad loves coffee. And he's like, don't leave. I'll know if you didn't drink the coffee. Don't leave without drinking the coffee, because he had to go to work on Christmas Day. So I got my coffee. I went and sat in my old bedroom that I've talked about on Force Center. That's my twin son's window, where I'd stare out at North Minneapolis and go, there's something more for me out there. And just really took the time to not deny the negative, but to kind of like try to whisper to my young self of, here are all the things going on in your life, and how amazed would young me be, you know? Yeah. And one of the first ones is, you make part of your living by talking about Star Wars.
Right.
And a community has grown up around just the fun and joy of discussing this and diving deep. And that was, you know, one of the real healing moments to kind of purge some demons. And I really owe that to Force Center and to you and Jennifer and to this community. So that was really, positive, great memory. Mm. Yeah. And then the other just kind of fun Star Wars thing I want to share, I'll put it on some of them on social media eventually. Yeah, my dad and I went through all these family photos, and I found all sorts of photos of my Star Wars action figure receiving adventures. I believe I found the picture from when I'm 4 years old of the first Star Wars action figure I was gifted. I am holding in my little grubby toddler hand the original Kenner Luke Skywalker action figure. I looked at that photo, and then I stopped and Googled. He's like, what is the actual value? What's it going for? And I turned to my dad. I was like, you see what I'm holding there? Like, that's worth $2,500 to $3,000 now. My dad was like, no, holy bleep. So I got Luke, and then I got two Chewbaccas, which I always remember, because I remember being like, I'm going to give one to my brother, and thinking I was being really good. What I didn't remember is there's a photo of me with both the Chewbaccas in the package. And then the next photo that my parents took is me just totally conked out. I've fallen asleep on the living room floor with a Chewbacca in each hand.
Open though, right? Oh
yeah, man. Open. I did some unboxing. Yeah,
you did some unboxing.
I did some unboxing, and I showed that photo to my wife of me asleep on the floor with a Chewbacca in each hand, and she was like, "My God, you're Chewbacca drunk."
Oh man, that's amazing. Those photos belong in a museum.
Oh yeah, man! I will definitely definitely share some. There are a lot of fun Star Wars photos over the years in those.
Mm. Wow! No, that's a lot. I know there's a lot going out there. Yeah, the weather, everything about it. Every time I saw you post a picture, I just kept playing replacement songs in my mind about Skyways and Regulars. Crazy out there, but yeah, no, it's such a Star Wars thing that our relationship to the past, right? It comes up so often. The future, the past, Kylo Ren screaming about it, Rey being afraid of it, trying to form her identity going forward, and Luke staring at the suns. It's all there for a reason. All there. That's, and when you're aware of it in real life and in real time, it's even more powerful, I think.
Yeah, and it was funny, just my dad and I just talking through things, different things from Star Wars kept coming up, and by the second I had to be like, you know, I do have other things in my life, Dad, but here's another thing from Star Wars. I think he was getting a little worried about me.
Yeah, that's a separate conversation. Even some of the more serious arguments I've had in the last year or so, tough arguments, tough conversations with friends and even my mother, the amount of times I'm like, look, it's just like the Star Wars idea. And it probably seems like a joke to them. Like the insight might be, okay, I see your point, valuable, but kind of this, like, is that all you have on your mind? Like, well, kind of, because of work, but yes.
Yeah, it's like political stuff. It's life mm-hmm. stuff. It's, you know, what's been going on with you. It's, you know, mm-hmm. where did you learn that? Like, about real world things? Because I'll be like, oh, that thing is a reference to this real, that thing in Star Wars is a reference to this real world thing, you know? So, like, mm-hmm. almost all of it was just like, hey, this is a way that this story relates to the real world. You know, it wasn't like yeah. that. And then Darth Vader has a cape, Dad. Like, yes. Yes. wasn't yes. just describing things that happened in Star Wars. And, yeah, and then Obi-Wan fell, but he caught the ledge, Dad. He caught the ledge.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, that's actually an excellent addition and clarification. Yeah, yeah, I'm not just going, do or do not. There's no try. Yeah.
Well, I'm really happy that you got to have a relaxing Star Wars adventure. I had a really fulfilling but emotionally daunting Star Wars journey.
There you go. There you go. Well, you get hopefully some time to recover. I know you landed early this morning, so you're a champ for being here. I think most podcasters, myself included, would have pushed the day, but you are here to power through.
No, I'm excited to get back to it. Really excited to get back to it.
Well, we are going to get back to it. Some breaking news from a long time ago, right here in our galaxy. And we will, once again, I don't know why I kind of broke into a Kirk there. I think I ran out of some breath. We've got rumors. So, yeah, I give a rumor warning. I think we talk about this a lot. We don't want to also break down our thoughts on scoops and leaks and rumors and all that kind of stuff. I think people know where we stand on that stuff. It's also changed over the years. How people are making money off of it, how people react to it has changed. And so my thoughts personally, I don't speak for Joseph or Jennifer, my thoughts have changed on even discussing rumors. But sometimes a rumor emerges and it is part of the Star Wars discourse, part of the fun celebration, and also is not surprising because it's something we kind of knew. And so all roads lead to Hera rumors spreading. And let's talk about the character, because all this means is we're getting Hera. And the scoop leak style report that went out suggesting Mary Elizabeth Winstead is playing General Hera Syndulla in the upcoming Ahsoka series. No official word on that, we'll point out as well. Kept refreshing StarWars.com. And of course, there's nothing. But Hera being in the series is not something one should consider a surprise, having appeared in the teaser footage at Celebration. Though, even that footage, you could easily say it was her cousin Kara. You don't know. You know, we don't know. Circumstantial evidence. But the fact that Hera's in there, or that Ahsoka's shaping up to be, and we'll say it, I don't say this cynically, but Rebels 2.0, right? That's not a surprise. So, Joseph, we'll start there. This concept of Mary Elizabeth Winstead as Hera, what do we think about that? And what do we think about the idea of Hera being in Ahsoka and in live action in general?
Yeah, this is all exciting. Even if this rumor is off base, we know that Mary Elizabeth Winstead is cast, and I think she's a phenomenal actor, great acting chops, and very, very funny and warm. So, hey, if she's Hera, great. If she's not, you know, if she's a space Mary Elizabeth Winstead, also great. That's a win.
Yeah.
And with Sabine, you know, confirmed, cast the actor out on stage at Celebration, Chopper on stage at Celebration. If people didn't get to see the teaser footage, yeah, it is a shot from the back. But yeah, a Twi'lek lady with green Leku, be very cruel if she were not Hera, right?
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I feel pretty great that Hera is in it. And then the only question is, it's great that Mary Elizabeth Winstead is in it. It's great that Hera is in it. Are they one in the same? We'll find out. To your actual question about the power of Hera being in Ahsoka in live action, we've talked a lot, you know, in the last couple months about, like it or not, animation is not as widely viewed, and it can still be like, hey, animation's great, but live action's the big time, right? That's still something that is, you know, circling around in our culture, good, bad, or otherwise. And I think a character, like it or not, a character being in live action draws more focus and attention to the character, right? And I think Hera's character really deserves that attention, right? Hera more than deserves the Cobb Vanth bump, right?
Yeah.
Not that he was animated, but like Bo-Katan is probably the better, like, yeah, now look at the Bo-Katan action figures everywhere. People are interested in, you know, hey, what's the Bo-Katan hit list on Clone Wars and Rebels so I can get caught up on the character, you know? This causes people to watch Rebels again, or for the first time, or causes Disney Plus to go, here are the, you know, 10 Hera focused episodes you should watch on Rebels. That's great. You know, I think the other thing we'll talk about more, but I think it's, I'd be thrilled if Hera was in live action at any age, in any era, but this era is so interesting for her because I think, you know, two key parts of her character is that she very much values family, you know, her family of origin back on Ryloth is a lot of her storytelling. And then the found family of the Rebel Cell and the Rebellion. So she loves family, but then also she's known basically nothing but rebellion and fighting for in her entire life. Mm-hmm. So in this time period that Ahsoka appears to be set in, sometime after the Galactic Civil War, Hera's family is a little shattered, and she finally maybe doesn't have a war to fight. So mm-hmm. what great time to catch up with this character where two of her defining traits are in some kind of conflict.
Mm-hmm. Oh, great. Oh, wonderful. I'll start there. I think you and I went to similar spots. She appears in Squadrons, so she's been an animated and video game form, right? And in the books, in the Alphabet Squadron. And she's such a respected and valuable leader to the New Republic during that era. But, you know, as the story moves forward, we are in this post-Galactic Civil War era. We're in this, what do we do now? What do we build now? Mothma saying maybe it's time to stand down with some of the military, all that kind of stuff that's at play. And she kind of represents all that. Exactly. This life, she's only known that life. That's a real valuable asset to, an element of her story, which makes her an asset to the storytelling going forward, of how you could see a lot of that through her eyes. And then it's someone who has perhaps a say in that, too. I don't know if all that's going to be a play, right? I don't expect a Hera Mon Mothma sit down in Ahsoka. I don't expect that at all. It'd be good. Be good. Just her showing up in there. And yeah, I echo what you say about the live action thing. It's a conversation that's been happening a lot, as it should. And the Ahsoka of it all, the Rosario Dawson casting and what that did to just the Ahsoka fans. I'll just say that about the controversies around that. And then, at the same time, I don't have any proof. I heard it talked about, but that, hey, maybe some of the Clone Wars numbers went up, right? Mm-hmm. And it is. I'm here to defend Star Wars animation because I love it. But I'm guilty of that too. Ask me about Pixar. I've never connected with Pixar films. I don't know what it is. I cry the first 5 minutes of Up. I don't remember the rest. So I'm guilty of not looking down at it, but just looking at it differently, right? Just connecting with it differently. Yeah. So I don't point a lot of fingers at. I have friends too. Like, I don't know. I heard Rebels was good. I don't know. Cartoon. Grumble, grumble, grumble. I can only fight that for so long, but if it's in their heart, it's in their heart. So yes, these characters, I think there's great value to the Star Wars saga to have them kind of emerge, break out. If it's an actor like Mary Elizabeth Winstead, yeah, so many wonderful things. And by the way, what a dinner table at home if her and Ewan come home from dinner and order some DoorDash and sit down with the kids to have some food and once Obi-Wan, get out of here. Like what a Star Wars couple there. So yeah, I'm excited. I think that's why I want to talk about it. I do love this character. You touched upon it. There's such a warmth, the motherly side, all those kind of wonderful things. But also, I'm excited about one of the things you said too, about a lot of that family that she's known to be the mother of is just broken into pieces right now.
Mm-hmm.
And there lies some kind of tension with the character. And, you know, I'm not expecting her to be in every episode, every scene. I don't know how far into the Rebels 2.0 Dave and the team are pushing Ahsoka, but we know it's going to be present and she has to be there in that regard. So I'm excited.
Yeah. Yeah. It makes me wonder how much, much the show is going to kind of just be about healing and rebuilding, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Obviously, there's plenty of conflicts to run into in the search for Thrawn and therefore Ezra, which is what we are assuming. We could be wrong. But you know, Sabine's probably been through some stuff with the events on Mandalore. Maybe some not good things happened to her, her family of origin as well. So a lot of healing to be done.
A lot of healing to be done. And the next couple of questions I admit kind of are on the same ballpark, Joseph. So let's just go where we want to go on this. But I'll start here. Hera is both a new character brought to us by the Disney era. But already that's a classic character. She showed up in 2014. That's a lifetime ago. Therefore, that means Hera, to you and I, like you and I joke, I still kind of think Foo Fighters are a new band. Their first album's just out, right? Oh, that was 1995. Sorry. Time works in a weird way. So she is both new. She's a classic, but she represents so much to a, we'll say new generation of fans, but that's not, I'm not saying that in terms of age, just those who connect with Rebels from 2014 on in a way that they had not connected with other parts of Star Wars yet. So what do we like about the character? We've talked already about a lot of things, what she means, but we just like going ourselves going back to 2014, 2015, or even now you're doing a Rebels rewatch.
Yeah, I think I really, really enjoyed that Rebels rewatch. And Hera is one of the characters, like, I remembered a lot of the beats and the ideas of Hera, but it was just so rewarding to see them again, and to see them sometimes like really acknowledged, highlighted, even discussed mm-hmm. by the other characters. And I think, you know, there is a connection with Leia, right? But mm-hmm. in this era, Leia is younger, and Leia is also coming from royalty, you know? So Hera's got a really different perspective in that she is coming from pretty much a life of, you know, rebellion. Mm-hmm. But I think what is similar is that Hera has this great central Star Wars idea of like compassion and combat, mm-hmm. for lack of a better term, that she is an extremely loving person who also knows yes, the Empire must be fought. She never doubts it. She is the driving force, right? That's why she left her father, Jam, on Ryloth and said, this needs to be fought across the entire galaxy. She helps get Kanan back into the fight. She helps, you know, center, you know, her kind of children of Ezra and Sabine on, you know, why are you fighting and fight the right way, but never, ever doubt that you have to fight. And I love that we see her having these moments where she's the compassionate, motherly figure. But mm-hmm. then also when she gets her back is up against the wall, there's, you know, that great animated lip snarl and just the fury of like, I am taking the Empire out, you know? Yeah. And then on top of it, the real great character trait that she is an amazing pilot. I really loved, in the last season, it's Ezra and Sabine stealing the TIE Defender, and Thrawn is watching, and somebody's like, oh, I bet that's is that Captain Syndulla? And Thrawn, I'm paraphrasing, Thrawn says something along the lines of, if Syndulla was flying, the TIEs would have been destroyed much sooner. Even Thrawn's like, yeah, she's a problem in a ship. She's too damn good. Yeah.
Good pulling in Thrawn's, pronunciation of that word.
Yeah, they do not. I think that must be a choice. They do not care about the pronunciation of Hera Syndulla's or Hera Syndulla's name. Yeah.
That's amazing.
Mm. Yeah.
Well said. I think, you know, going back to meeting this character, we'd already seen a lot of great stuff with Twi'lek in Clone Wars, to be clear, right? Mm-hmm. But we grew up with, you can't deny, and we love Ulu around these parts. We have a Star Wars Memoriam up there that's, I think, our most popular video load with 12,000 views, which I know is small in the grand scheme of YouTube, but for us, Ula's a great character, but there's no deny, Joseph, that we kind of came of age in this generation of, you thought Twi'lek, you thought sexy female dancer character. That was just mm-hmm. kind of the trope. And at times Clone Wars moved away from that. At times, you know, there was even some of the character designs. You're like, you're trying to sell that angle, whether it's intentional or not. So I loved that Hera showed up in 2014. And, you know, that wasn't what she was about. She was about so much more. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was important. I thought that was part of the new era. She was combat ready, both by design, skill set, her viewpoint. You're so right. But then such a wonderful, well-rounded character. Part of the depth of Rebels that unfolds in front of you is you can point at the screen, especially if you read New Dawn, you go, yep, father figure, mother figure, droid, drunk droid figure, whatever. They're all there, right? I get it. drunkle chopper. I get it. You can almost get cynical. And then she starts to become this well-rounded character that is trying to allow herself to feel love in a time where maybe she doesn't feel that. She's also got fear. She's got family issues. And taking a character like Cham Syndulla, who's a character I think is celebrated in Star Wars as he should be for being this rebel from Go. And then also adding a wrinkle to him that, you know, what damage did that do to his daughter? And what did they experience? And how did she grow from that to be this well-rounded character that has strengths, that has weaknesses, that has fears? And it seems like, yeah, well, that's a no-brainer. But I think for myself, I saw Palavar's Ed Greer tweet this the other day about, you know, if your idea of a strong female character starts and ends at Linda Hamilton in T2 and Ripley, Sigourney Weaver, you know, and he makes a fun joke. And we grew up in, like, especially studying screenwriting, that's what we meant, or that's what we were taught. Like, that tank top, muscles, gun, and fight, which, by the way, is great.
Yeah, nothing wrong with it.
Nothing wrong with that. And more. I think, so for me, a little bit older, when Rebel, to just be able to celebrate that Hera just represented so much, as she should, and as these characters always should have. And I think Leia and Padme fall into that as well. But it was just great for the new generation, especially early on out in 2014, for her to be there. I just really grew to love that character a lot. And we should definitely give props to Vanessa Marshall, who just voiced that character. And I know this conversation, Joseph, about some of the who gets to go to live action and who doesn't. Mm-hmm. And you know, I guess I can get somewhat cynical to people who maybe just kind of learning of, yep, welcome to the voice actor industry, where you are not going to be at the table for these roles. And sometimes it's just based on, hey, maybe how the character design, all that kind of stuff that's out of the actor's hands. But shout out to Vanessa Marshall. So that's what I really just love about the character and what she has meant. And yes, she is a mother figure, and she's a mother figure to the fans of Rebels. And you and I always talk about being at that Mandoverse panel at Star Celebration, just sitting amongst all these fans who are like, love all the Star Wars, I'm sure, but Rebels, man. And you can feel that energy, and you can feel the love for her. And I'm excited that she gets to live in a new form there. So,
yeah, you're saying a lot of great things. I think that she does have some of the the late 80s, early 90s, you know, strong female in that she's an amazing pilot. She's great with the blaster. She can absolutely handle herself. But then I think the show so early on really, I think, establishes her as the mother figure who's also doing you know, which happens not in all families, but in some families enough that, you know, it's something to be discussed, that she's also doing all of the emotional labor.
Yeah.
For her withdrawn family, for Kanan, who's not all there, who's for Zeb, who grumbles, for Sabine, who has issues that she will not speak about, for Ezra, this kid who's coming out of his shell, for Chopper, who still can't think about Y-Wings without being traumatized about his own past.
Yes.
She's the one who's like, I will take it all on for you. And they know it. You know, that very early Mellow Run episode where they're supposed to be getting, you know, supplies for being, you know, a rebel cell, but they're also like, but mom likes this fruit. The whole vibe of that is we secretly know she holds everything together. So here is our fumbling attempt to make her breakfast in bed on Mother's Day. Like, that's what that fruit episode is about. You know, it's about a lot of things, but in terms of Hera's character, that to me, what so brings together this maternal figure who is not just the emotional laborer, but that is definitely a part of her character.
Yeah. And I agree with you that it's not like that all the time, and it shouldn't necessarily be that all the time, but you can't deny that there's a little bit of the, I'll handle all that plus pack your lunch for school. I got you. Like, you know, and that's the power of the character and the realism of the character. And, well-rounded indeed.
Yeah. And with her being a great,
you get me excited for Rebels rewatch. So
yeah, it was just the number of times, because she is the pilot functionally, it's also like, I sent the kids and, you know, dad Kanan on an assignment, they messed it up and I got to go pick them up.
I'm stranded at soccer practice. And I love some of those layers again, for this particular character, what's going on. So if Hera's here, and again, in the Alphabet Squadron book, she appears in Squadrons, appears as well, along with Ray Sloan. But now here, live action, I can't, Ahsoka limited series, I can't remember these days. It might have been one season, but you know, with any, it doesn't. If Ahsoka hits, we'll have five seasons if they want. Let's be clear. But the character showing up. I don't want to say the term graduate, but I think I went there in my brain. So apologize to animation fans. I don't mean it like Bob Chapek did a little while ago. But with Hera showing up in live action, no matter who's playing her, this means we might have the character going forward in more Star Wars storytelling. And so, Joseph, what can the character represent going forward in the Star Wars New Republic era of storytelling?
Yeah, I think that this is fascinating because she's so set up to be a steadfast character who fought all the way through the war, right? In the Alphabet Squadron novel and in the parts of the Star Wars Squadrons video game that I finished because I'm very, very bad at that video game. I got to play it on like story mode or just watch somebody live play it so I can see the story. But the point is like so much of that storytelling is about the victory at Endor was definitely, you know, game changing. But now this wipe up. This dragon and everybody's hurting. And here's Hera still there, still running everything. So committed. There's even the exchange in I think the final season of Rebels, kind of dealing with Kanan sensing his end and their romance. But within that, you know, Kanan's kind of poking Hera of like, hey, if we win this war, which I know you believe we're going to someday, you know, what's going to happen? It's like the galaxy will be free. It's like, no, for you. What do you want? You know, and it's kind of about their relationship and their romance in that moment. But I think that is like this big, resonating, interesting idea for Hera. If the war is won and she does not know quite what to do with herself. And I can see a story trying to speculate responsibly where she's one of the person who sees the Empire in every shadow. Because she just doesn't know this huge part of her life, the thing to be fought is gone. And maybe this is a story where she's trying to get past that paranoia. But then Ahsoka and family go off Thrawn hunting and maybe encounter the baby First Order and like, she's right.
I love what you're saying there too. And I think just knowing the New Republic era, those first 5 years outside of Andor and Book of Boba Fett, just a lot of stuff that was put forth in the books, Aftermath and Bloodline and all that kind of stuff, that era storytelling, she fits in real nice for me. As I said, she's a new character still. She's still new. She just always seems, you know, like she was there from the beginning. Yeah. And that's what I just love. And having her there alongside Han and Leia, whether they have scenes together, I'm not expecting that. De-aging looks great in Indy 5, but I'm not expecting Han and her to have that fight about who's the best pilot. But just knowing that that character is there, steadfast, like you said, aware how you can deal with some of the things you're talking about, of shadows around every corner, that's intriguing to me. But I just like that, you know, I'll just say I like that Leia might have another ally, that Mothma might have an ally. Or maybe Mothma doesn't have an ally because Mothma wants to stand down a bit for, I think, good reasons. But Hera maybe struggles with that. There's a lot there. And we'll see. I'm excited how she will factor into Ahsoka's journey going forward, because Ahsoka wasn't necessarily part of that family, right? She was adjacent. She's the friend they invited over for Christmas dinner because she had no one to go to. You know, like, come
she's
on
like
over.
The force auntie, right? If there's a force problem.
Auntie. Yeah. Hey, Auntie Ahsoka's coming over. She's bringing the potato salad. Yeah, like, so there's a lot of potential. But this leads to my final question here, Joseph. I think it's an important one. I think we need to discuss it. Do we think Jason Syndulla will show up at any point? I'm not saying Ahsoka, but at any point in any other storytelling, if Hera's going to be around, what do we do with Jason?
I want to hear a song parody of how do you solve a problem like Syndulla, meaning Jason in particular. That ending of Rebels is all the tags for all the characters are so beautiful and so interesting, and it speaks to the possibility of more storytelling. And it's great Star Wars stuff of the, you know, the spirit of Kanan and Hera's love live on in this character. But then like, oh man, that's so beautiful. How do we stop him from being slaughtered by Kylo Ren? Great. Like, to answer your question, I hope he either shows up or is acknowledged. You know, hey, let's trap Jason in the unknown regions where Kylo can't get him necessarily. I guess maybe he could. Anyway, find him, you know, Toddler Mortis. I don't know. But the other idea for me is like, maybe it would be an interesting thing for Jason. You know, we've had a lot of stories now of Luke half trains somebody, or they start training and they're like, thanks, Jedi Master Luke. Really starting to hurt Luke's feelings. So I don't know if I'd be jazzed about another, like, he trained him a little and then he was like, nah.
Yeah.
So I thought it'd be really interesting to go a different direction. And, you know, maybe Jason is on Ryloth learning the old ways so that family can continue on that side of things.
That's interesting. Yeah, I'm with you. I at least need him acknowledged. I do think it's a fun, challenging drop into the cannon bucket that Dave put there. I don't know. You have thoughts on that, but I like the character. I like what you're saying, the end of that story and what it means for Kanan and Hera. A lot there and a lot you could do with it, including the answers. Do they all have to be slaughtered by Kylo Ren? Maybe not. Or the Knights of Ren? Maybe not. But what do you do with them? What do you do with this character? Dude, he and Grogu just kind of run off to another part of the galaxy. I mean, what do you do? But that's fun. That's fun. I just do want to acknowledge because, I mentioned some of this stuff with other characters before, but you got Chewbacca and his family. And you know what's going on there? Is it just I'm away on a work trip that takes 2 decades? I don't know. Does time work different for Wookiees? It does not make me think less of Chewbacca. You don't want to be held up on so much realism, you know, where Han's like, "Oh, we got to go back. Chewie's got, you know, Lumpawaru's birthday party." Like, you know, I understand you're not going to address that. I make this reference over to the world of Game of Thrones, where Davos Seaworth, this great, wonderful, warm character, still has a wife. After 8 seasons, 7 that he's in, still has a wife. Don't know where
most
she is.
Stuff he's doing, he doesn't really want to do. Like, well, because of my honor, I need to leave my wife for decades at a time.
Decades. And hey, look, you know, I remember John Adams and Abigail Adams were apart for years when he was in France. I totally get it. But I think about it. And I just if Hera shows up, the character's been mentioned, I think, a little bit, or I'm trying to remember and. Alphabet Squadron, I don't think Aftermath, but like, I'm trying to remember.
Yeah, I mean, we could pull it up on old Wikipedia, but I feel like he was acknowledged. Yeah.
I think he was acknowledged, but it's just like, is he just in space daycare forever? Is it private school? I don't know. I kind of feel as though, especially, you know, you have Dave in charge. Dave loves his characters and Dave loves plotting it out as he should. They're his at this point. I do feel as though I'm not going to put my fist down if it doesn't happen, but just least explain a little bit, you know, the nanny's got him this week and I can go to the unknown regions with you.
Hey, look, we're not alone. I started to just put in Jason Syndulla into the search bar to go to Wikipedia and it came up Jason Syndulla father, Jason Syndulla force sensitive. Is Jason Syndulla in the Ahsoka series? Jason Syndulla fan fiction. Is Jason Syndulla a Jedi? We are not alone in the questions we're asking.
Yeah. 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 It's a potentially big and important character. And it's in a post-credit scene almost. So.
Another one popped up that is Jason Syndulla a Knight of Ren?
I mean, you know, if he joins those ranks, you know, and I know they're still going, they're in the Galactic Civil War era with working with Kira, right? So, you know, if he graduates into that group, maybe. At least it'd be an answer.
Yep. Yep.
Well, that is our discussion on Hera, the character, the rumors. We'll see what's true or not. I believe a lot of this is happening here, but we do like to wait till it's official. We do not like sharing set leak photos and all that kind of stuff. But hey, a lot of news out there, so listen and take in what you want. But we really do love that character and can't wait to see more. Before we take a quick break, we're going to do a Force Center Recommends, an audiobook we think you should try out on us. We've moved past Padawan, Joseph. What do we have?
And we are very excited to dive into Star Wars, The High Republic, Path of Deceit by Justina Ireland and Tessa Grattan. Like Ken said, we finally read and discussed Padawan and enjoyed it, and I can't wait to get back to the High Republic.
Can't wait indeed. They're sitting on my shelf there. Getting ready. All right, download your free audiobook today by going to audibletrial.com/ForceCenter. Again, that's audibletrial.com/ForceCenter for your free audiobook. All right, well, we're going to take a quick break. On the other side, we got some Bad Batch news and a birthday to celebrate. Stick around and more Force Center.
Life is full of what-ifs, some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Welcome back to Force Center. We're looking at Star Wars headlines. And, you know, Christmas holiday, you wouldn't expect a lot of Star Wars news, but there's a lot of things out there to discuss if you're looking for it. And one of them is the confirmation on Bad Batch Season 2 titles and the release schedule. This has been around for a bit, to be clear, not breaking news, but our chance to discuss it and kind of also look ahead to Bad Batch Season 2 in a way. Disney and Lucasfilm officially released the titles and air dates for Bad Batch Season 2. And we'll start here, Joseph. Right now, one of those Force Center temperature checks. What's your anticipation level for the second season of Bad Batch?
Oh, to quote K2SO, it's high. It's very, very high. I love this show so much. It's in the legacy, obviously, of Clone Wars and Rebels, but there's just something very different about it because of the dynamic of this weird clone A-team, and Wrecker and Tech in particular are just so fun and charming and Omega. And then I really love this immediate Imperial takeover period. So there's a part of me that's like, if I knew nothing about what might be coming up in the second season, I just want more of that. But then knowing that all these interesting characters and ideas are popping up makes me really excited. I'm very Gungian Sheev. What more could I want than I want a Gungian Sheev for Bad Batch Season 2? I think the other thing is just, and I know it might be in an ongoing discussion, I really want variety in Star Wars for myself as a fan. And I absolutely love the much more grounded, brutal yet still hopeful Andor. The horror of tyranny and the day-to-day reality of Tim Carlo's damp socks right there on screen. Yeah. Love it. But I also really like the other extreme of Star Wars, that all of the same ideas are there, but they're expressed in a bizarre, fun, pulpy adventure of the week type way. So I'm really in the mood for fun, pulpy, animated series side of Star Wars as a complement to Andor, because I like them both.
Yeah, well said. I echo those thoughts there. I think that's, over the last couple months, might have been where mine was going first, was to the, you know, what will be the eventual comparison between the two, a competition between the two that doesn't really exist and shouldn't exist. And I want to say this. Sometimes I think, we get a little grumpy or want to fight back against it as we should, maybe. But I also understand it. You and I were talking off air. I like a lot of folks, watched Glass Onion this week, as the subtitle will tell you, A Knives Out Tale, which Ryan didn't want to put, I guess. And I found myself naturally comparing it in a point for point debate with Knives Out, the first one. And it's like, I've stopped myself at one point. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it differently than I did the first, because they both exist and you can't change the one came first and one second. And I enjoyed the second one in a different way than I enjoyed the first one. And that's how it is. And I think Bad Batch, like you said, is part of the super connected Star Wars saga, but it absolutely looks different and feels different than Andor, and is going to. We got from the trailer, we got giant, very brightly colored space crabs coming our way. And by the way, Dewey and Freedy might tell you that Bigley space crabs are part of the universe there without a problem. Yeah. So it's all there. But all that's kind of drift away. I did at one point this weekend watch Bad Batch episode one. With Depa Balaba and Kanan and all that kind of stuff. Excuse me, Caleb. And I forgot just immediately some of the stuff you're talking about. Yes, there's the big Kanan stuff, and there's the looking at the galaxy at this very important time in the story. But there's also like Wrecker's funny, Tech is funny, Omega brings such warmth. All those kind of things that are very much a part of Star Wars and unique to Bad Batch. The sitcom-like quality of Sid and Sid's parlor. All those kind of things. I found myself more excited than I've been. And I've loved the show, clearly. But I think I've been putting the whole thing on the back burner just because of like, I don't want to have to do it. People are going to fight over this. And I'm right now really excited. And the titles kind of help with that.
Yeah, absolutely. I think this episode of the news is just a celebration of the animated side of Star Wars.
It is.
Hera, and now with their excitement for Bad Batch Season 2, bring on the animation. I guess Hera in live action. But yeah, we celebrated Hera in animation.
Yeah. And like I said, we had touched upon some of this before, and this stuff's been out, but wanted to highlight it here. And look, titles can sometimes be looked at as spoilers. And I think I look at them as spoilers more now than I did before. Again, even talking about the rumor news, I didn't look at rumor news back in the day as spoilers. I just like, ooh, it's speculation. It's fun. Something's changed inside me because I think something, Joseph, has changed inside the talking world, the pop culture talking world. So I'll start there. Where are you at with knowing the titles? Do you even want to discuss them?
Yeah. I mean, I think my reality is an extreme. I would like Star Wars to be delivered in a brown box, and you don't know what kind of Star Wars it is until you open it. I'd be fine with
right,
that.
Right.
Just as a fan. But it's also a fun part of the community to have the trailers and the title releases and discuss all that. I think for me with the titles, I would never want to see them if the creators weren't okay with it. And I, like, for example, I don't want to see the titles for Mandalorian Season 3 because I think they have a history of being a little bit more on the spoiler side, like, the Jedi. That doesn't necessarily say, yeah, of course, Ahsoka, if that title had been released before Season 2 of the Mandalorian, it wouldn't have necessarily confirmed that. But and I think Jon Favreau seems to have been exerting the influence he has to keep things more close to the chest there. But for these, I was kind of excited to see them because they're so in the tradition of Clone Wars and Rebels titles where every once in a while you can kind of guess which three characters might that one be about. But so many of them are just like, titles like Crisis, Attack, Crashland, Time on a Planet, and like a ton of these are like, these could just be the names of random science fiction or self-help books that you'd find in a used bookstore. You know, it's and that's what's like fun and funny to me about the Clone Wars and Rebels titles. Sometimes they're absolutely on the nose. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they're just like resolutions. Like, okay.
Yeah. Spaceship flies fast. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
Love that. No, I'm with you on it too. Star Wars in a brown paper bag that shows up. Now you don't know till you open it, like a mystery lunch packed by mom or Hera. I love that idea. It's not the way it is. And again, I own that I've changed my views on this. I think it is because of the nature of big ticket television stuff. Where it's like a reveal, a twist, and if anything's kind of given away and takes the enjoyment, it does affect me. It does affect me, but I have to admit, going to Game of Thrones, I used to love title release day for Game of Thrones. Mm. It used to happen. Like, here's the next 10 episodes of season three, I remember in particular, and season four, I was heartbroken. I thought I saw a title and I said, oh, for sure this death's going to happen. And it didn't happen. And then after a while I stopped. I don't know. Just again, I think the way that the pundit world kind of takes it in, it just kind of soured on me a little bit. But that said, I think it's kind of, I think you're right about Bad Batch and Clone Wars. It's a little different than the other shows. And also, there's something for me that gets, it adds a little excitement, and it's a little bit of an advertisement for a show that is probably going to be a little lower rated, whatever streaming ratings actually are. And before that conversation happens of, see how bad Bad Batch, I think Disney's expecting this. There is, again, a difference and a divide between live action and animation, whether there should be or not. It's a different discussion, but there is. So seeing the titles is an extra boost. And you look at some of these titles. Yeah, you're right. Some, and I guess we should say, anyone who does not want to hear the titles and has avoided it, now's your time to duck out here for about 5 minutes or so. But we're going to dive into some of them. There's some Retrieval, Entombed, Tribe, The Outpost. What outpost? Is it Miller's Outpost, the old stores? I don't know. So there's a lot of fun pulpy titles in here, but do any of them jump out to you?
Yeah, I mean, I am almost amused by the ones that are just like one word and they almost look like a set of, like, remember when all that fridge poetry magnets were really popular and you just have one word and it would be like Shakespeare themed or, Agatha Christie themed. This feels like a Star Wars animated television show of fridge poetry magnet titles. Faster, Entombed, Tribe, Retrieval,
yes.
Metamorphosis.
Yes.
So I'm very entertained by those. The ones that are getting me excited and getting me to want to, speculate responsibly are the clone ones, right?
Yes.
The solitary clone going, all right, cool. Who is that? Which one? It could be a lot, with all the clone stories we're having. The clone conspiracy and Truth and Consequences, which seems to be like kind of the mid-season two-parter. Is this the big Cody arc? The idea of a clone conspiracy is that somebody who is advocating for the stormtrooper program to move faster, saying all the clones are bad. Hey, like that Bad Batch and that Rex out there causing trouble, they're all bad, So it gets fun speculation going. So I'm excited for those. And then the summit in Plan 99. The summit was one of the names for the Rat Pack. So I always like that. And Plan 99, that gets me excited for, like, what wild crap has the Bad Batch come up with to call it Plan 99? And then it feels like a pretty obvious reference to, Plan 9 from outer space. So,
yeah.
Very exciting things in the season finale as well.
Yeah, I'm with you on the clone titles. It just kind of, it's one of the things we're dealing with. And also, clones, stormtroopers, and some of those fun and deeper canon questions. So absolutely there. Metamorphosis, that, like a butterfly. I'm ready for that. I'm ready for what that might mean. There's one titled Pabu, planet, character. Mm-hmm. I don't know. We'll find out. Looking at some of the multi release days as well, Spoils of War, Ruins of War, the Summit, Plan 99, like you said. And we should highlight, for those keeping score at home and you want to plan your waiting up to midnight or getting up at 4 a.m. to watch them kind of things when they drop, January 4th, be a two-episode premiere, February 8th, kind of like a mid-season two-episode drop, and then the finale on March 29th is the two episodes, The Summit and Plan 99. And yes, we will remind everyone that also will overlap with The Mandalorian Season 3 set to drop on March 1st. Joseph, that's an ongoing discussion about releasing the episodes on the same day and could you move them to Fridays, this and that. I like the idea of Saturday morning cartoons, whatever, do that. But, one of those things that we're just not in the meetings for and we don't know the numbers or the reasons why, but it's where we're at.
Yes, yes. Must let go and accept that it is something that I can't control other than voicing my opinion of, yeah, it'd be awesome if Bad Batch came out on Saturday morning. I think that would be great. But we should say that we are extremely lucky to have got some screeners, digital screeners for Bad Batch. So I know every time we talk about this, we do hear from listeners who some are just like, bring on the Star Wars. I'd take 8 a night on a specific night. I just want more Star Wars, and I always want to be... Yeah. Real respectful of that. I think for me, it takes a little bit of pressure off. I just really love to just let the shows sink in, and it's just mm-hmm. I love pizza and tacos. I don't always want to have them on the same night because I want to savor them.
Yes.
And I'm happy to have the screener so I can, if I want, I can watch Bad Batch on a different night close mm-hmm. to its broadcast date and really let it sink in and let it turn over in my mind a little bit before we discuss it and then give that same space to Mandalorian.
Yeah, I'm with you on that there, but we can't change what is. Maybe they'll change it. We'll see. But this seems pretty sad. Pretty sad. Once you got the graphics made, it's hard to change things. You can't change that social asset.
I think they took down a She-Hulk and an Obi-Wan Kenobi billboard the size of a building in L.A. to change the date. So...
Imagine getting that memo at the company who handles the billboards. That son of a bitch.
That is that's a great short story of the guy who just like, I just put that up. I was 18 stories in the sky. Change the date? Can I just go up there and change just the date? No, a whole new poster on the entire building. Okay.
This is great. And I certainly know this is not just related to Hollywood, that any town can have a giant billboard. I want to make sure I'm not being a West Coast elite here. But I love it. At the Comedy Store and then at Mel's Diner down the street from the Comedy Store on Sunset Boulevard, there's two multi-story, like we're talking 10 to 15 story buildings that are, the side of it is just billboards.
Yep.
Including the next door to the Comedy Store is the famous Continental Riot House, the Hyatt Hotel. And I've watched them. It is a process, man. So I'm fascinated by having to change that for one date.
It's work. Yeah.
Welcome to Ken and Joseph Talk Sunset Strip Stories here. let's not forget also here, we will be bringing back the Bad Batch Report, our deep dive, our discussion on the episodes, the fun things, the wild things, the pulpy things, the themes, all the wonderful things that we found in the episodes of The Bad Batch. And look for that shortly. It's coming next week. We'll start diving back in. And we have, we want to remind people, we still have the Clone Wars report to finish. Don't you worry. It is on our docket. We need to review season 7. We're going to look at the Darth Maul comic. That was the last part of the Dark Horse run. Whether or not we get to Dark Disciple, I've seen some people ask about it, that in our Discord. We'll see. We'd love to have the time, but do not forget, or we haven't forgotten. Do not worry. We have mm-hmm. not forgotten about Clone Wars Report, but Bad Batch Report returns next week.
Dark Disciple is one of my favorite books. I'd love to have the time to discuss it, but as any listeners have known, it took us a little while to get to Padawan, so we'll see.
Look, one of my things I did do over the break was I read about 100 pages more in my book on the election of 1912 that I keep telling you all that I'm going to finish before our next Star Wars read. Almost there. All right. We are almost out of here, my friends. But before we do, want to take a look at this week in Star Wars history. Looking ahead to Star Wars past. Every now and then, we like to celebrate an actual human birthday. And on December 29th, 1979, end of this week, Diego Luna was born in Toluca, Mexico. It is fitting that we celebrate Luna's birthday at the end of the year, which featured his character Cassian Andor so prominently. I almost said the year of Andor, but that wouldn't be fair to the other shows that were here as well. We love all shows and characters. But Joseph, what do we enjoy about Diego being in Star Wars? And what do we appreciate about the character of Andor?
Well, I think it's great when you can really like the actor and mm-hmm. and the character. And Diego just seems, from all of his interviews and his appearances at Star Wars Celebration and other conventions, he seems so sincere, so committed, so excited. Somebody who really understands and wants to be sort of a representative of the character of the show of Star Wars, right? You know, I think some actors are like, great, I did it, I said my thing, I don't really know. He seems to really be playing that ambassador role and doing it with such honesty and charm. I couldn't find it on a quick search, but I love some of his quotes about not being able to tell his kids things about Star Wars and wrestling with it, of like, my kids love Star Wars and I know Star Wars stuff, you know. I love that. And then I think for the character of Andor, what I appreciate about it is multi-layered. I don't want to ignore the power of the real world representation. You know, the stories we've heard of people being just deeply moved and not thinking they would hear in a major movie like Rogue One, hear someone using their normal Mexican accent and playing such a heroic, meaningful role. That is powerful. And then inside the story of Star Wars, Andor, I think, is a character contains so much meaning. Inside the story of Star Wars, he represents ideas of immigration, but immigration caused by displacement, forced to leave his own home by the actions of others, right? So some vital, interesting storytelling going on with the character. And then I think for me, Ken, I'll just spew out my last big thing about Andor is it's just kind of close to my heart in the way that I think about Star Wars. Sometimes I think on a quick glance, people see Star Wars as dynastic. It's just about powerful people, right? And it's just about this Skywalker family, you know, ruining things, fixing things, ruining things. And I understand that that is a valid analysis of the Skywalker saga on one level. But to me, it's so much deeper. I think there's this huge thread in Star Wars that everyone has value. Everyone has skill. Everyone has something to offer, you know. And Andor, Cassian isn't a Jedi or a highborn royal or politician. He's just this guy who has skills. He's observant. He's clever. He thinks ahead. He's got natural charisma and leadership skills. And he has a choice in front of him to use those talents or not. You know, whenever we talk about this, I know I go on and on about, Luke is probably the only one who could listen to that Force ghost whispering in his ear and make that shot to destroy the Death Star. But Luke can't do that unless this guy, Han Solo, chooses to turn around and make a difference. So I feel like that idea has always been in Star Wars. But Andor is a character who is growing to me from the seed of Han Solo turning around, storytelling wise. And just really representing that. Here is a character that really reminds you everyone has value in this galaxy. Everyone has skill. And then they're all different from one another's. And then the choice is, do you use it? And that's, to me, what Andor is about.
Do you use it? What does it cost? Everything. We'll say, Luthen. I love what you're saying there, of course. And, yeah, just, you know, having Diego Luna in Star Wars has turned out to be pretty darn cool, even if Rogue One was the only thing. It just seems like, look, and it's the era where just be careful who you put on a pedestal, right? Just be careful. But it just seems to have someone who's just seems to be like a good bloke hanging out in the Star Wars galaxy. I'll just start there, maybe at surface level. I just love seeing him around. A lot of interviews out there. You can check out everything out there. And I just think it's good to have him, even if Rogue One was it. You talk about the real world angle of the representation. That's important. And that's important when we want to build this big table for everyone. And if that doesn't click with you, sure, okay, totally get it. But go listen. I always highlight our pal Hector Navarro at Heroes Reforged. Go find his story on Twitter of his dad being blown away, tears streaming down his face of hearing my accent on screen in Star Wars. I never would have thought that. And how that seems just so little, but it's giant. And it's giant to the people that it's supposed to be giant to. And so absolutely don't shy away from that angle of it there. But beyond that, and Andor is you know, I've heard it described as an immigrant story, right? Or a migrant worker story. All those kind of, I've heard that all the way around. And every one of them, I think, is 100% accurate. But like any good Star Wars story, it explodes out from that and it connects with everyone else as well. And I think that's the other thing I love about just Andor, the character, and watching him go. And also him changing my views. This is going back to Rogue One of me being, this is before we even got Marva and Clem and, you know, all Bix and Tib socks before all that. Just the idea of who Cassian was before that and might have had separatist leanings or a family involved with it and having a distrust of the Jedi, but was right there in the center of the rebellion. It seems silly to say, but just hearing that blew my mind for what that meant to the rebellion and for the rebellion and my view of the rebellion growing up, that there wouldn't be different ways to approach it or that everyone would have the same view. The point is, you know, everyone has the same goals, perhaps. Well, even then it could be debated, but they all see the same end game or at least want to get there, but they all have different points of view and they all have different struggles and they all bring different things to the table. And that's a valuable thing to learn as well. Not that I had this rosy view of the rebellion, but, you know, growing up, it just kind of looked and felt one way. And Cassian represents another way, but the same fight. I've always appreciated that. Now we just get to really dive into that. And I can't wait to see where he goes. Yeah, what do you do with it? What do you want to do with your life? I want to rock and I want to rebel. So there you go. Happy birthday, Diego.
Yeah, absolutely. Well said. I love Andor's complicated journey to rebellion. And I hope to see him on some just thrilling spy missions.
Yes, yes. Well, there you go. We are out of here for today. We're going to let you know where you can find us. We're on Twitter at Force Center Pod. We're on Hive Social at Force Center. Facebook page is Force Center Podcast. We're on Instagram. And don't forget, we are on YouTube. We got some cool things coming, including figure fights. Subscribe over there if you'd like to help us reach our goal of 7,000 subscribers. Podcast is on Acast, iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, and more. Just search. You'll find us. Merch, it's available at tpublic.com/user/Force Center. And you can support us directly at patreon.com/Force Center. From there, you can get into our Discord where you can let me know. Yeah, we'd like you to review Dark Disciple. You can also follow me at Ken Napsok. Go to my website, kennapsok.com. Got some new podcasts coming soon. Look for that. Comedy shows, nothing new been added yet. Took a little bit of a winter break, but we'll be back up and running shortly. Joseph, where can they find and follow you?
Yeah, you can find me on most of the social media at Joseph Scrimshaw. I am still on Twitter as it goes through its long, troubling time. But I'm also on Instagram. Really want to promote that because a lot of people are checking out Instagram. So find me over there. Also on TikTok and Tumblr and Hive and Bungle. I don't know. I just made up that last one. Mastodon, Crustacean. Google me. My website will show up as well as my YouTube channel. Thank you all so much for the support this year as I've been building that YouTube channel, doing more short films. If you haven't checked that out, you can check out the short film Peace Fight that I made with Ken and Mark Ellis and more coming in the new year. That is it for me.
That is it for us for now. We got questions. We have got a look towards 2023 and a Bad Batch related databank dive on the way this week. So we got more coming. We're so happy you're here. We'll see you soon here on Force Center.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.